3, 2, stop.
Hello everyone, I'm Joe Cristiano and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday, August 26, 2007. It's now 8:01 in the evening, Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. We'll take your comments while on the air. At other times, off-broadcast times, you may call 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. But, of course, you can always send us email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. We'll try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. And the two is a numeric two. He also calls it Economics 411. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to his commentary on blogtalkradio.com/my2 cents. And again, that two is a numeric two. Well, good evening, everyone. A tumultuous week on Wall Street. A tumultuous week here at Liberty Talk Radio. Received lots of email. Many people upset at what I have said. Primarily regarding religion. And it is very interesting because what I am trying to instill in this program is the essence of liberty. The essence of liberty. When we talk about liberty, we're not only talking about liberty or being liberated from a federal or state government or any other governmental entity. We are talking about liberty. We must be free within of ourselves. If we are not free in and of ourselves, there are live call. Hold on a second, please. There are some live callers already calling in. And that's interesting. But I do not see their calls. Hold on. I do not see the calls. Well, I'll have to wait for their calls to come in. They haven't reached the switchboard yet. There are live callers, but no one on the switchboard. Okay, very good. We have a mechanical error there. Okay, but what my point being is that we have to think of liberty as something that's inherent in within us, something that is natural, is a natural law. But once we abdicate that liberty, regardless of who we abdicate that liberty to, whether it be to another person, it could be a friend, a wife, to anyone, you know, or a government, or even our religion. Then we have restricted our liberty. We restrict our line of thinking. We restrict our rational thought, our reasoning, and we become enslaved. We become enslaved to that restriction. Now, I know that's difficult for people to understand, and then people get very angry, and they say, but I believe this, and I believe that, and I believe this, and I believe that, and as a result, you know, but they fail to realize that they are slaves to their thoughts. Absolute slaves to their thoughts. Now, I'm not anti-anything. I'm just asking people to think rationally and think critically. Now, I received emails that were absolutely blistering, and unfortunately, these were people who were my regular listeners. And yet they're parting ways because they disagreed with my contention, you know, about how we should think, right? And it just shows where we lose our way. Now, let me give you an example. If, in fact, I believe in something, regardless of what it is, and someone may question that, then what I have to say is that why are they questioning my question? Why don't they answer my question? Because if they believe in something, that's usually an emotional and neurological response to that. If they can respond to me, then maybe they can convince me that I'm either incorrect or I should believe the same thing. The responses that I receive are typically emotional, with withdrawal. Now, once we go there, we cannot think rationally, we cannot reason, and we sever ties from people who may be thinking rationally or reasoning. And we lose all of that. All right, I'm not going to get into that now. We'll get into that when I get to my emails, but it was a blistering week. This week's program, I'm going to save the emails to the end because normally I get into the emails and whatever happens is I run out of time and that's the end of that. Okay. Tonight we may have an extended program. I'm really not sure. We have an instant message here. And let me just answer this one instant message. Yes, it's working. Okay, very good. We're going to talk a little bit about the cost of government dependency. When we talk about government dependency, the first thing people think about is the welfare state, you know, typically welfare. I want to go further than that. We must question what the role of government is. Now, I know it sounds like almost an academic question, and but we got a question: why do we even have a government? Now I sound like an anarchist and a nutcake, right? But if you start thinking, why do we have or need government? Some excellent writings was from Thomas Paine in his book Common Sense. I think it was 1776 when that was written, and he references there in one of his essays that I believe it was the Netherlands had a excellent social contract with no government. When they decided to have a head of government, a king, you know, things went to hell in a handbasket. And he makes a real strong point about that. He says, well, government is really unnecessary because people govern under natural law. Just think for a second if our government would just disappear. It would just be us. And there is no government entity. Would you not get up and go to work the next day? Would you do anything differently than you do today? Well, the answer is probably not. Well, one thing that you wouldn't do is you probably would not be paying a lot of taxes. You would probably be more involved in your government because it would be local. And these local governments would be coordinating activities with other local governments so you can have a statewide consensus. And when you think about the bureaucracy that's in Washington and in state capitals today, and unfortunately local governments are getting this way as well, it's getting further and further away from what this natural law, this natural tendency for people to commune, to develop a community of ideas, of well-being, to strive to become better than they were before, to have a community that they have now that's better than where they found it. Now, we don't have that. These words must sound absolutely foreign to you. And they should, because we never use them. Because we rely on some sort of government entity out there to do everything for us. So we say, you know, what is the cost of government dependency? The first thing I have to say about government dependency is that it costs us our very thinking. It costs us our very rational thinking. Just like I said last week when we were talking about religion and rational thinking, where everyone got upset with me. But if we can think rationally, we would realize that there's very little need for that. Now, we probably would have a government, but the government would be exactly the way our forefathers had intended it in the first place. Incredibly restricted, really not much to do. The only time we need a government is sort of like these tribes. You see these things on TV where you have these tribes, and the only time they solicit the wisdom of the elders is when there is a dispute between people within, you know, within their community, and they can't decide on, you know, on a particular case as to who gets what and what's fair. And then they go to their wisdom, their elders, or the king, or whomever the case may be. I mean, whatever they call the person. And they sit down and they discuss it. And this person hopefully has enough wisdom. He's there because he's a wise person. He's not a dummy. And he helps sort it out. Well, our government should be the same way. The only time we need a government is the only time we expect it to have any government is when someone unjustifiably takes something from us. And we need to go to a higher order and say, I don't think that was right. That's our court system, basically. In other words, they call that a rule of law. Now, the cost of dependency on the government means we basically lose that rule of law. Because we have the government doing things other than making certain that the rule of law is intact. Making certain that everyone has freedom to do whatever they choose to pursue their perception of happiness. And that's all we have here in America, is that pursuit of happiness. That's the intent. With the government making certain someone doesn't come around and rain on your parade. Now, unfortunately, the government, the cost of dependency, is that the government rains on your parade every day through its taxes, its regulations, its restrictions. You know, and now with the war on terror, the war on drugs, the war on poverty, the war on everything, you know, you can't do squat without the federal government or a state government or some sort of governmental agency of some sort, some regulatory agency telling you what you can and cannot do. What is the cost of government dependency? The answer to that question is absolute loss of liberty. If you think we live in a free country, ha-ha! Yes, our Constitution says that we are. And we are one of the freest countries. And it's still the best place in the world to live. But the road we are traveling down is placing all of that in jeopardy. Call 646-652-4620. Please, and I hope the phones are working because we had people apparently call in, but they never came on our switchboard. right? 646-652-4620. You know, I'd like to hear your comments. So the cost of dependency is our loss of liberty. See, it's not an economic cost, which it is. It's a tremendous economic cost. But that's the small one. That's secondary, tertiary. The real cost is in our inability to pursue our own happiness. That's the cost of government. And why do we allow the government to govern the people instead of being a government of, for, and by the people? Well, I don't know the answer to that question. I can only surmise. And what I'd like to surmise is that we're lazy. It's easier to have the government do it. The government makes it sound good. You see, the government, these people make a hell of a lot more money than you and I make. And they can only do that, and they can be reelected into the office, you know, obviously if they promise a lot of things. They promise a lot of things, people vote for them, and the ball gets bigger and bigger, so it rolls downhill until it's mammoth and we get swallowed up. I really wish that people would start thinking rationally, thinking independently. Let me give you a cost of government. This is a strange one. In some states, it is required that you wear a helmet when you ride a motorcycle. Now, that's a restriction. That's a regulation. It's a law. Now, most people would say, well, that's one of the good ones, because it forces people to wear a helmet, and it would save their lives and save the taxpayers and society a lot of money from people getting hurt or killed in a motorcycle accident. Now, I am a motorcycle rider. I have a scooter. And I have a small scooter, and I have an 1800cc, okay? I love bikes. I love two wheels. In fact, the 1800cc happens to be a trike right now. And it's loud, and it's really nice. I love it, you know, fun. But they're dangerous. I know they're dangerous. There's no helmet law here in Oklahoma. I wear a helmet. I'm fully suited when I go out. Now, the reason for that, and the reason why I bring it up, is that it's not the regulation. It's self-preservation. I know what's good for me, and I'm going to do what's good for me. Very few people wear helmets here in Oklahoma. So people say, that there's the point. That's why there should be a law. When a person gets hurt on a motorcycle and has no protective equipment on, and first of all, if you're going to demand a helmet, you better demand also a jacket that has some padding in it, you know, proper padding in it. Because I was in a bad accident one time without padding. And let me tell you, I broke half the bones in my body, almost died. Right? So I've been there. So if you're going to dictate that, you better dictate everything else that they wear. Everything. I also broke my foot. Foot will never be the same. There's rods in my feet now, you know, instead of bones. The government should have dictated certain boots. But really, who suffered? Who suffered most in that my motorcycle accident? Where I wore a helmet, saved my life. I would have been dead without it. But cracked half the bones on my left side because I didn't wear a jacket, the proper jacket. I decided to leave it home. I got lazy. I suffered. Society actually suffers very, very, very little. I mean, infinitesimal compared to the way I suffer. You see, that's my cost of freedom. Now, when I go out, I'm fully suited. I don't go anywhere until I'm fully suited. And I'm going to buy one of those jackets that you plug into a little pump, and then if it gets disconnected, it blows up. Blows up, and you bounce on the floor so you don't get hurt. You know, an air suit. My point being is that that's another restriction. That's a cost of government. The government has no right to tell me whether or not I wear a helmet. If I didn't wear a helmet that day, I would have been dead, gone. That's my business, not the government's business. And the cost of society is very little. Cost of my family would have been very high. probably. Here, let me give you a couple more examples. Where are they? Let me change venues a little bit. When the government is in charge and the government does everything wrong, who gets fired? If a business ran as a government ran, what would happen? The business would cease to exist. People wouldn't go there anymore. The customers would be dissatisfied. They would leave and they would find an alternative or do without. But what's strange about government, with all its regulations, when those regulations don't work and they spend an inordinate amount of money, mostly for bureaucratic crap and fraud and waste, with little going to what was originally intended, and what was originally intended was worded in such a way that it's not intended. What occurs is not what was originally intended, which is beautiful in itself. But then, when it doesn't work, what do they say? We were underfunded. So we're going to appropriate more money to this, you know, to create more regulation, to restrict your liberties even further. They don't say this, but, you know, and then everything will be all right. When more money is appropriated, we never hear about it again. So we lose on both ends. We lose our liberty. We lose our freedom. It restricts our path to our pursuit of happiness. And then the government sends us the bill. That, folks, is the cost of government. And we should be ashamed of ourselves. We should be absolutely ashamed of ourselves. You see, as written here by George Leaf, the whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorless to be led to safety by menacing it with an endless series of hobgoblins, all of them imaginary. And the unintended consequences as a result of government programs will never, this is my commentary, will never, never be understood, will never be revealed. If it was, there would be riots in the streets tomorrow. I'd like to get to some email. It's going to take me a little time. I'm going to make it short, I think. I'm going to really cut it short, because the emails were, in my opinion, a little upsetting. Right? And I'll get you to one that's upsetting here. I will not read the whole thing. This is one from a regular listener, Monty, from Pennsylvania. He's a born-again Christian and basically blasted me for not being of faith. And his arguments were religious in tone and in nature. And he said that he is going to cease and desist any relationships with me, you know, through the radio program, etc. And he says that's a shame. I won't read the whole thing. I just can't. It's just too long. But I want to read to you my response. And I said, Monty, I truly regret that I will lose you as a listener. I do not mean to deny anyone their religious belief. My problem with religion is that historically it has accomplished only one tangible result, and that is it separates people, as it is doing to us. If your religion is real, you would not be leaving, but be understanding of my position, albeit maybe not in agreement. Religion is separating us. That is not right. We have so much to offer each other as beings. We do not need religion to develop a relationship. If we do, then there is something wrong with religion. I don't think any less of you because you are of faith or that you disagree with me. However, you are a religious person who is leaving me. How can that be possible? How can that possibly be the better of two outcomes? Religion does separate people. As my wife said aptly one time, religion does a good job of creating a relationship of you against me. Just think of the Middle East, okay? That's not good. Furthermore, it's unfair to expect me to understand any religion that believes in dogmatism, absolutism, patent of rationality, and irresponsible surrender of my very being to something I do not understand. And I didn't write this, but and quite frankly, no one's willing to explain to me. They get angry and they leave. Then refuses to explain its posture. And for that, I'm losing a newfound friend. I truly regret that, but thank you for letting me know. Folks, that's an example of someone who is a prisoner of their own thoughts. Here's one from Andy. He says, I'm listening to your segment, your recent segment with Paul, as it was amazing to watch him turn. Oh, I see. This is another fellow, this guy Paul, who called in about a week ago, and he hung up on me. Same thing. I mean, his verbal response was similar to the email that I received. I am listening. He says, it was amazing to watch him turn from an open-minded, critical thinker to a Kool-Aid drinking moron during the course of the call. His ignorant mindset is much of the reason why we are losing our country, our freedoms, and our liberties. He is precisely the target audience of Limbaugh, Hannity, and other mainstream purveyors of ignorance. I applaud you for your professionalism in dealing with another American illiterati. Just had to get that off my chest. Thank you, Andy, very much. I agree. I mean, I think our ignorance is doing that. And we're listening to these people on TV who are profess to be making sense, and they really don't. They have no foundation, very little foundation for what they say. Here's one from Alex. He says, I had referenced the prison population. He says, our prison population is so large because it's a reflection of the present society at large, which has been taught not to take responsibility for themselves. Touche, I agree. When you live in a free and open society, there must be reasonable expectation of the community that others shall be responsible for their actions in order for that society to function properly. When this dictum is not adhered to, then society must take up the slack and take responsibility for you. In the present age, government fulfills that function. In the olden days, the community, you know, and I talked about community in today's program, folks. I talked about community, you know, and he said either the person was tar and feathered, ostracized, you know, or lynched from the nearest post. And he says, maybe that is one reason our prison population is so large. Only, oh, no, that's what I said to him. I'm sorry. I have Instant Man. You cannot be a Christian. Cannot you be a Christian and a libertarian? I just received email. It just came up on my computer. And it says, cannot you be a Christian and a libertarian? Oh, no, absolutely. You can be a Christian and a libertarian. I don't know who wrote that. I just have the email and it's code. No, they have nothing to do with one another. What I am professing is that if you want to truly liberate yourself, you have to question and you have to reason. If when you were a child, and I don't care what religion you are, and Christian religion it's immaterial whether it's Christian religion. I don't care what it is. It could be some obscure third world religion that we never heard of. Any religion. And when you were brought up, someone said that, you know, the world will come to an end on January 1st, in 2 years, or whatever they say. You know, they tell you what's going to happen, Armageddon or whatever, or you're going to go to hell when you die if you do this. Oh, if this guy's Teddy from Springfield, Missouri. Okay, Teddy. My question is, when someone writes all this stuff, if you're a libertarian thinking, if you're a libertarian thinker, not libertarian party, political party, libertarian thinker, you'd say, well, what's the basis for that? What's the basis for that comment? What proof is there any proof that that's going to happen? Or is it just something that someone said 5,000 years ago and they've been repeating it for 5,000 years, and if you don't believe it, you're going to go to hell and die? And then you're going to say, well, where's hell and how do you know I'm going to die? Go there. If we don't start thinking, it's very difficult to be a libertarian, I think. But you absolutely can be a libertarian and a Christian. And most of my friends who are libertarians are Christians. I don't understand it. I don't understand how they don't question. But people take their religion and say, but it's faith. All it is faith, and I take it on faith, which I don't understand. I was brought up a Catholic, and I had problems with time in my life, real serious problems, and I went to my parish priest, Father Pickett. In fact, his name is Father Pickett. I sat down with him, and I said, this is my problem, and I need some help. And he gave me all sorts of gobbledygook. I said, what does that have to do with it? He says, well, the sacraments, the this and that. I mean, he gave me bureaucracy. At that point, I left the church. I couldn't get help from my own parish priest. I wasn't going to another church to say, well, I'll keep on going from church to church until I find a priest that'll help me. As far as I'm concerned, he represented the Catholic Church. He made absolutely no sense. Wrote him off. I didn't do it right away. You know, it took years. But eventually I just said, this is not going to work. So I think if you're going to be a libertarian thinker, if you're going to be a libertarian in thought, you must think critically. You can't turn that off. It's like, I'm going to be a good husband except on Thursday morning. You know, I mean, no, you're going to be a good husband. You're going to be a good husband 24 hours a day. If you're going to be a good worker, or you're going to be a craftsman, you can say, well, I'm a good craftsman, but, you know, except on, you know, Fridays, everything goes to hell in a handbasket. Friday, we drink. You know, we make everything crappy. You know, you don't do that. So if you're going to be a libertarian thinker, if you're going to be a liberal thinker, there's nothing wrong with questioning your religion. If you don't question your religion, you're not questioning. Your mind, you're not liberated. You're truly not liberated. Now, you may question your religion and be absolutely perfectly satisfied with the answers, because there may be something in your religion that makes absolute sense. I don't think the Christian religion makes any sense whatsoever. I mean, not at all. I know I've studied it for years. I can debate it with anyone. I can debate it with theologians. I can debate it with. But my point is that because I started asking questions, I never got any answers. Oh, I got answers like, oh, but it's faith. You've got to believe, or else you go to hell and die, you know? Anyway, so that's the answer. Okay, Teddy, thank you for that. I hope you're not an ex-listener now after that. I received an email that says, Ron Paul is right about the Federal Reserve. Sign and promote the Abolish the Federal Reserve petition. Today, in August 2007, the world financial systems and investment markets, real estate, and availability of credit are all under direct assault due to past actions of the Federal Reserve in the United States. Read and sign the Ron Paul is Right Abolish the Federal Reserve petition at, here it is, I'll give it to you. It's at, you know, www stuff, right? petitiononline.com/Fed, F-E-D, /petition. .html. I'll say that again. petitiononline.com/FED/petition.html. Right? Go there and sign for it. I agree. Woodrow Wilson, who signed in the approved the enactment of Federal Reserve, afterwards wrote a meeting with Congress and admitted that he had caused the country irreparable harm by doing so. And I had that comment somewhere, and I don't have it. But that's right from Woodrow Wilson, who actually signed it into law. We have someone here who has a song, by the way, and I want to get that song on the air. It's a real cute song, and my son is working on the mechanics of it. Folks, I don't want to make this an anti-religious station. And I know for a fact that I have lost many listeners because of my position on that. What I don't understand in that taking that position is that if a person is a person of faith, they're the ones that are supposed to be understanding. They should be forgiving, merciful, tolerant. I mean, this is what faith's supposed to be. Now, I'm not a person of faith. I can't lie to you. And yet, if someone tells me they're a Lutheran or a Muslim or a Jew or Buddhist, whatever, I don't say, I'm sorry, I cannot associate with you because you are not of my faith. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Now, if I did that, the religious community, and when I say religious community, it could be anyone in the religious community, any facet of the religious community, would go nuts. They would say, ha-ha, you people not of faith, that's what the problem is. If you were only of faith, you would be tolerant and understanding and merciful and forgiving and all that stuff. But it's not the case. There's something wrong with that. There is something so incredibly wrong when someone of faith is the one that's leaving, that's refusing to be a friend. Now, if they were truly of faith, they can say, but I can tell you why you're wrong, I can convince you, and I have proof. And I can reason this out with you. I'm all ears. But since they cannot, and they know they cannot, they get emotional, and they say that their faith is too strong for them to ever associate with someone like me. I want to tell you a story, and this is patting myself on the back. I had someone on my radio program that was bipolar, I guess is the term. This guy is sharp as a tack. I listened to him at a meeting one time, and I said, I have to have this guy on my radio program. Now, this is a long time ago. This is several months ago. I will not mention who it is, and hopefully no one would remember. Some of you may. Well, he came to the studio, and we set everything up, and for some reason, the wrong guy showed up. I guess bipolar, you have like these two, you know, not personalities, but when you're on one side of the fence, you're way gone. And he went on. I had no idea what he was talking about. Well, apparently things got worse for him. And right, not shortly after that, he was picked up by the police. He had gone into a store and just destroyed a store, you know, claiming that they were ungodly and all this other stuff. He went religiously nuts. I'm not picking on religion now, don't get me wrong. I'm just that's what he did. He was a very religious guy, and I knew that, but I still invited him in. But that was not going to be the gist of our conversation. Anyway, he was picked up. He was actually shot with one of those stun guns. They had to sedate him and everything. They brought him in. And he wound up in a center here in Tulsa for the not the criminally insane, I should say that, but for the people who have behavioral problems, you know, and who are arrested and are just not, you know, criminals, that they just went nuts or something. And he had called me, of all people, and he said, you know, I just want you to do me a favor. I've been trying to get my friends. They won't answer my phones and, you know, left a message. I called him right back, and I asked him what happened, and he told me. And he was very honest about it. He was very upfront. And I said, geez, that's horrible, you know, and every week he was there for several weeks. I visited him once a week, my wife and I. And we would bring him things, you know. We couldn't bring him much. They wouldn't allow him much. But they'd allow a book, but they had to search us and make sure there was nothing in the book and all stuff like that, you know. It was part of the prison system. And we did that week after week. And a guy who was much of faith, who's a good friend of mine too, and a fine person, a real fine person, looked at what I did and looked around of all the people that this guy knew that was involved in his church and stuff like that. Those people didn't visit him because he did some bad things in the church too. He went nuts in the church, so the church sort of threw him out. Now, he went nuts on my program, and I didn't throw him out. I just let him go, and after it was it, I apologized for my audience. I said goodbye, and that's, you know, that's life. And this fella who was part of the church that he was in, that he visited, he wasn't part of the church he visited and really caused a rumpus there, thought for a while and said, you know, you're not a person of faith. You're visiting him every week. You're doing what we should be doing. And yet the people in my church are not. And that action actually made him question his faith, his whole religion. I never intended that. I didn't know anyone was visiting him. I knew nothing until he told me. So, you know, this thing about religion bothers me. It's just that if you're of religion, I know people who are just of absolutely no religion, of no faith whatsoever, and they are the finest people. I mean, I would give them everything I own, and they would take care of it better than I take care of it myself. And yet there are people of faith that I've hired, and they've stolen from me. And they are very overtly religious. So I don't know. I'm not saying all people of religion are bad. Don't get me wrong. Please don't go there. I'm just saying that you would think that that would not be possible. But it was possible. It is very possible. And that ties right into that email where this fellow wrote me a full-page email telling me about why he's a born-again Christian and could never bring himself to ever listen to my program or associate with me again. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with all of that. And I do think that you cannot truly be liberated until you think rationally. But you can't turn off that rational thinking on Sunday and then resume it on Monday again. I think all religions would be so much better if everyone questioned their religions from the very beginning. Just think of all those fundamentalist Muslims and the fundamentalist Jews and the fundamentalist Christians, all who would justify killing everybody and anybody for their name and religion. There's no one questioning. No one questioning them. They sort of just say, well, they're a little bit more radical than us. They're not being condemned. That's not good. Okay. Boy, we went 42 minutes so far in this program. Didn't intend to do that. Didn't intend to get to that stage. This is Liberty Talk Radio. It's 646-652-4620. We do have a call. You're on the air. Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
My name is Shane. I'm calling from Orange County, California.
Orange County, California.
Joe, I'm listening to you.
Welcome.
That's right. Thank you. Joe, I've listened to a lot of your shows, and there's one thing I tire of, and I usually turn a lot of shows off, and it is this battle of arrogance between the ultra-religious and the atheist, because I care very little for it. It matters little to me where people come from. Ultimately, how people live their lives, how they affect me, matters more to me. But hypocrisy is evident in all walks of life, Joe. Not just religious people, atheists, people who are agnostic about things. I think that often when I listen to you talk about religion and the such, and the ability you were able to destroy some guy's beliefs in religion, make you feel good about yourself, about that, it doesn't feel good to me. I never go about looking to destabilize someone's thought unless it's a belief system that destroys hope that other people have in their lives. Do you get what I mean?
No, believe me, I understand what you mean, and I do overplay that card. I find it very disturbing because I get my most adamant emails in that regard, and I guess I feel compelled to explain where I'm coming from. But and you're absolutely correct, you know, and I'm not going to argue with that at all. And I would feel, if I was on your side of the fence, I would be saying the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I did that one time when I was about 22. I was in college, and you know, I've been raised a Catholic. I went to Catholic school my whole life, so which is the reason why I haven't been to church in 30 years. But got into an argument with some guy and just ripped him to shreds. And I saw the guy a couple months later, and the guy had changed drastically. And he had thanked me for that. And I never felt the shame about that again. I felt horrible. Because what I had taken from the guy in his journey to find out about more about himself and the world around him and try to answer some of the questions that government can't answer for you or your psychiatrist can't answer for you, I had taken from him that kind of belief that there's a meaning to everything. And how we come to that there's a meeting, how you come to it, how I come to it, maybe we come to it from different views. But I kind of said to myself after that I would never go and do that again. While the debate is interesting and I enjoy listening to the details, I find it very difficult now to listen to that. I kind of see it as like an arrogance on both sides.
No, yeah, and I can see your point. What I say, and one reason why I guess I harp on it, of course, I don't look at it as arrogance, but I can understand why you would, and I'm not disputing that and disagreeing with you at all, is that what I see is happening in America today is that our thinking, rational thinking, seems to have almost dissipated. I find that so disturbing. I mean, it can be about anything. I mean, I'm not religious. It could be about anything. Living here in Oklahoma, when people speak and they speak irrationally, then they bring in religion. And I guess it's I'm oversensitized to the whole subject because I get so much of that here in Oklahoma. And after a while, it about drives you nuts. And I think our whole nation is, it'd be nice if people believe what they wanted to believe, but wouldn't bring it up in a conversation. You see what I mean? I mean, if they were talking about, it could be anything, and all of a sudden, one of their justifications or their logic has to do with their religion, has nothing to do, you know, with their discussion, it leaves you cold in the water. It's almost like, well, the reason why I'm doing this is because God, you know, directed me to do that. Well, how could I discuss that with you? I'm going to just, let me call God and disagree with him for a minute, and I'll be right back with you. I hear a lot of that. And we're hearing so much of that today with our politicians. And even if you listen to the candidates, they really want to tell everyone how religious they are, and this is why you should vote for me. But I agree with you. Do me a favor. If you will send me an email to comments@libertytalkradio.com with your mailing address and T-shirt size, I would like to send you, absolutely free of charge, a Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt.
Great. Thank you, Joe. Let me just say, in closing this up, that the reason why if you wanted to bring it to this subject, why we need a leader of a country who is religious. I don't need an evangelical. I don't need a guy, from the pulpit, you know, trying to explain to me why I should believe in Jesus. But why it's important that a leader of the country be religious is because there's a humility in that. And when we worry about that, and even me, not a very religious guy, it's important that the man in power recognize that there's a power greater than himself. Because power corrupts, and people who think that they are God, that they are the center of power, do things with no conscience. If somebody believes that they are held to a higher standard, that they will be, I don't want to say punished, but if they'll be, that there is that's a higher standard that demands more of them, I believe that kind of humility is very important in a person who has terrible power.
No, I agree.
I mean, I'm not being very eloquent about it. Do you understand
what I'm saying? No, I understand what you said. But let me respond by this. If, in fact, we knew that person was truly of faith and really believed what they believed, look at George Bush. He's a born-again Christian, and yet it doesn't bother him that well over a million Iraqis have died there innocently in Iraq, you know, without occupation. I mean, I can't reconcile myself.
Yeah,
he has no conscience whatsoever. But you see where I'm coming from is that if we, in fact, knew that they were that way, never said that, but were that way, that would be great. But sometimes when they say it, that's a person that really doesn't mean it. That's what bothers me.
Oh, wait a minute. No. Joe, that's not fair. Because George Bush is a religious man doesn't mean that the choices that he makes don't come from the right place. I understand why he's doing what he's doing. I'm not always happy about it. And I know that the kind of propaganda that comes out that tries to darken the picture, like a million, Iraqis being killed, things like that muddy up a very complicated situation in Iraq. You don't need to be religious to agree that we should be over in Iraq. You may disagree. You're a libertarian. I agree. I think it's the right thing to do over there. I'm not a religious guy. And I don't think that George Bush has a dark heart or is a hypocrite for doing what he's doing, because there are people on both sides of the aisle of all faiths atheist, agnostic, and religious who agree and disagree with him and what he's done.
You're correct. I'm just saying that I don't know when a person is really true to that principle that you're espousing, which I wish everyone was. I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they say that, you know, they go to church every Sunday or mosque or synagogue, whatever it is, that they follow their religion 110%, they can say that, but I don't know that. I'll never know that until I see them in action. And when I see them in action and I go, geez, that was slimy, I'd say, I suspect that maybe the guy wasn't totally truthful. That's my only point.
But Joe, religion doesn't make you perfect because we're all human. Religion isn't a thing that says, now that I'm religious, everything I do is correct, or I can only do the correct thing.
You're correct.
We're all human.
Right.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah. That's an absolute, and you're absolutely correct.
That's a very high standard you're holding for people, Joe.
Yeah.
That they can never meet. They can never meet that standard, Joe. So you will always be upset. You will always be disappointed in people who are religious because you've set the standard so high that when they fall, you point the finger at them and you say, failure. You are a hypocrite. You are a liar. Everything you say from here on in, I cannot trust because you have failed the standard, my standard I've made for yourself. That's a very high standard, Joe, and I think you expect too much of people without taking into account human nature and the flaws that are part of human nature.
Yeah, well, you know, you make a good point, and you make a point that that once a person overtly professes that they are religious and they do this, and then I do hold them to that standard. You're absolutely correct, and it is either the appearance or in reality that I'm holding that person not to a high standard. I'm holding it to their standard, and I'm saying if you have one.
Yeah.
Follow through with it. I mean, don't say, I believe in this, but screw that, I'm going to do that. I say, well, there's something wrong. And you know, but I agree. And I'm not arguing with you. And I, by the way, I appreciate your calling in and talking the way you're talking rather than just, you know, railing and just hanging up like some people do. So I sincerely appreciate that.
Joe, you're a thoughtful person. That's why I take the time to call in. I've listened to your show before, and I expect it from you. That's my standard for you, and you meet it every time. So I appreciate you, Joe.
Thank you. So please send me email. I'd love to send you a T-shirt. Just send me your size and a mailing address, and I'll get out to you right away, okay?
Hey, and Joe, don't wait to call into my show as well if you ever get the chance, Political Vindication Radio. You're the kind of thinker that we like to have come on and debate the issues as well.
I will do it my first chance. Okay, will do. Okay, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Joe.
Good night. Caller brought up a great point. I'm picking on people. I'm picking on people. I know I do. I pick on people. I'm obsessed with picking on people. But he makes a good point. He really is. It's a hot subject with me because I think it affects and it permeates not only religious people, but anyone who's thinking. Not that I'm a perfect rational thinker, I do a lot of stupid things. But when we start thinking, have time to sit down and think rationally, and we don't, this is going to be the demise of our freedom. And this concerns me. Okay, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for calling in. That was a great, great call. Okay, it is almost time for us to get off the air. We will be broadcasting again on Thursday morning. This is Sunday. Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m., Central Time. The subject, don't know what it'll be. I'm not going to talk about religion. I promise. But I will put it on my blog. If you can just go to the website at libertytalkradio.com, and there's a blog/schedule, and give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about. I wish you would, when you do listen in, if you would call in during our live broadcast at 646-652-4620. Also, listen to that gentleman's website also. He's on Blog Talk Radio, Political Vindication on Blog Talk Radio. I've got to listen to him. Thank you very much for letting me know. Also, off the air, if you want to leave me a voicemail when we're not broadcasting, dial 903-551-2186. That's 903-551-2186. and I will respond to you on the air if I can. Of course, I welcome your emails at comments@libertytalkradio.com. All right, let's... Wow, here's our song. Okay. I expected this to be a half-hour program. Let's see. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Or phone in your questions to area code 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government doesn't like competition. Until next time, stay well. Stay tuned.